You're on.
All right. We'll call to order the Monday, May 22nd Board of Commissioners meeting for the River Grove Water District. We have public comment, and there is a 3-minute limit to that. And may I assume you have a comment?
Yeah.
Could you?
Sorry, this is Billy with Tamarand.
Okay.
And I'm here regarding house that we're trying to build back from fire damage located at 5306 Jean Road. The house was recently just annexed in to LO, so taken out of Clackamas County. Mm-hmm. And during that process, the owner's gone through kind of to rebuild the plans and the fees for all the annexation. We're getting ready to submit the permit, which now the city is now requiring a bunch of information that the county was not requiring. Because they're treating it as a new construction, simply because it was annexed and they don't have any history from it. The house that we are building back for is the original owner from 1962 or 63, I believe. They're building it back, the same footprint. We're keeping the foundation, we're keeping half the framing in it to survive the fire. From what I found out since I made this appointment, the water bill has never been turned off. The water bill's been paid for last year, even though there's been no usage over there. We are not increasing the count as far as what was there. And when I called to get information here to gather for the permit, I was told there was a $9,000 fee for a new permit, for a new meter, which is 1 inch, which is an overkill, and I don't know why we're doing that. So I'm asking for a variance, or I'm not sure what I'm asking for, but I just don't think a $9,000 fee is appropriate for something that's basically considered a remodel. This is just somebody building back a house that was torn down by fire. The meter size is adequate enough to service the house, and the proposed fixture count that's going back in was pre-existing. So I'm not sure why we're having to increase the size on it, and so I'm just here to kind of say, hey, can you guys help with the variance on this with the homeowner? Because she is retired. She's on fixed income. Not that that's anybody's business here, but she's not looking to spend $9,000 on a meter upgrade that she doesn't need to do. So.
Okay, that is something that we would want to talk about, and we aren't prepared to make a decision tonight.
Okay.
That's so
unfortunate, but all right.
Yeah.
So what do I need to do to go about that? I mean, I brought a set of the plans. They're here to show us. Here's the overlay. Here's the house we're building back to show that this is what we're coming to terms with, and here's a copy of the water bill that shows that they're current on that. I'm not sure what else information you would need from me on that.
So when he came into the office last week, he did not have plans. He did not have anything. He said they were still pending at the city, and I said that we would need to review them. I also said that he would need to fill out a fixture count, etc. I also talked to the grandson about 20 minutes, and he wanted to come to the meeting, and I said, yeah. And I did say it's a little bit premature. You don't have plans for us to review. You don't have the fixture count form that we're requiring you to fill out. And I said, until I see all that, the district can't make a judgment, can't make any type of a comment. And I was told the plans weren't ready because they were at permitting or something. So, again, I will forward to the customer the construction codes, the fixture form, and when they're submitted to us, then we can make a decision. It's premature at this point.
Okay.
Actually, I'd like to review that. I was told, I told her there was no permit at the time because we had not submitted for permit for getting the information. Mm-hmm. We did have plans for it, and I was told that the permit fee was what the permit fee was because it's considered new construction. That's what was being considered, even though it's a remodel. How we're going about it. So I was not given any other for those for the fees or anything else for reviews. I was told I can just come here and ask questions. So so if I would have known that I had to have more stuff, I would have probably came in more prepared with that. But I'm just coming to ask for you guys' help on
helping out. We'll do what we can, and I will not promise anything. And we need to see those documents
right here
before you have the plans.
You can just submit them up there.
Okay, you can just go ahead and put them on there, and then
staff
will go over them, and then the board can look at them from then and make a decision.
And fill out our district fixture count, et cetera, all of our things that are required.
Until those are done, there's nothing else to do.
Yeah.
Are those forms available online for the general public?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, we'll move on then to the minutes, review and approval of the budget meeting and then the regular board meeting. So does anyone have comments or questions about that? No, no.
Stay here?
You can leave.
Okay. All right, I'll keep an eye for an email then.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Billy.
Thank you for coming.
You need a copy of minutes?
I've got the copy
April 24th?
Yeah, got them right up here.
All right.
So, anybody have a question or comment or correction about the budget committee meeting and the minutes that have been submitted?
Seemed to be in order to me.
Okay, our budget is a total of $3,138,700. So if there are no questions or comments, then shall we go ahead and approve the budget?
I'm sorry, didn't we approve the budget during the budget committee meeting? You just want to approve the minutes, correct?
Yeah, the minutes of the budget.
Yeah, the budget's been approved.
Right? Yeah.
Right. Yes. You all needed to take a vote in the budget hearing to adopt the budget.
And we already did that.
We did.
Correct. So for this, it's just the meeting minutes, and you don't really have a quorum to, because you had two commissioners out, and now with Commissioner Johnson out, they really technically should not move any minutes that on a meeting that they were not present at.
Okay.
Unfortunately. So we can delay these until June.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead, Chris.
That won't make any difference on our submission.
In the future, if we're absent for a meeting, I probably should have emailed you and requested the copy of the recording, but I think if we listen to the recording, we could probably approve the minutes as long as we're confident with the contents. So
I would check that with Laura if you want me to, because in special district training that I've gone to, it's that only the commissioners that attended the meeting should approve the minutes. And on the recording, I do put the recording out there after I transcribe the minutes. So I think I got the board packages. I tried to get it to you Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was out on Friday, but they will be put out there. And I also, again, as I said, use them to transcribe the minute meetings.
Sure. Okay.
I can check with Laura and make sure, because we want to be absolutely correct in what we're doing.
Yeah, you don't want to have a snag in the budget.
I mean, you would just vote and you would reapprove the minutes. But yeah, if you could check with Laura, that would be great. I would appreciate that.
Well, wait a minute. Now, we three of us were here.
No, I wasn't here. I was home. I had strep throat, man.
Oh,
I wasn't going to come share that. I wasn't up to speaking.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
No, you were on phone. Only Commissioner Johnson was present.
But I was here. I was present for the meeting.
Right. So you could approve this, but you don't have anybody to second it. These two commissioners were not in attendance at the budget.
Well, technically, I could second it.
You could. Absolutely, you could.
Well, can't we do that?
You're really not as a chair supposed to move, but you could.
Yeah. No, I won't move it, but I'll second it.
Yeah.
Well, I'll remove, in that case, just an administrative preference.
Yeah.
Let's approve the minutes of the budget meeting, April 24.
I will second that.
Okay.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
So, I'm sorry, if we weren't present for the meeting, we can't vote on it. So
right.
You can second
it,
and you can keep it on the table. But so I move that we postpone the approval of the April budget minutes and the April meeting minutes both to our June meeting when we have a full quorum of board members present and clarification from our attorney on the status of commissioners who were not present at the meeting for their ability to vote on meeting minutes.
Okay, I will withdraw my second.
All right.
Okay.
And I'm dead in the water.
It's all good.
No, you're not.
You can always share them as a draft or whatever if we had somebody who was concerned.
Do we want to do the same thing with the board meeting?
That's what I proposed in my motion, was that we suspend both of those for our June meeting.
Okay.
And we have a quorum present, we have answers from our attorney.
And I could be wrong, I'm not sure, but when we get done, there's something I was going to address in my general manager's report, so I'll wait.
Well, we're on to the general manager's report.
Okay, so one thing about, and this came up in the minutes, our board policy handbook, and Laura did not catch this, It's very antiquated to have a secretary of the budget committee. They don't do anything. It's not a position that does anything for the budget committee. So she missed that in the review or left that in maybe just if certain districts wants to do that. I would recommend the board delete that position. It's a lame duck position. It doesn't do anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did we confirm that with Laura? I mean, you said that
I will send an email
review.
To her, but in the last special districts training that I took, I know for a fact that a secretary position is not required, just as I learned that the budget meeting minutes don't sit for a year until next year's budget committee meets, and that's why that's been changed here in our district. The board has the full authority to approve the budget committee meeting minutes,
yeah.
But I'll check on that if I need to again.
Thanks.
So that would be my recommendation.
Okay.
And you all don't use that position. So
yeah, we don't appoint anyone to it.
No. In the past, we have had someone agree to be secretary. They come in and look at the minutes after it's over, sign it, and that's all they do.
And they really can't officially sign it because it has to be
A year later.
Yeah. And that's why it came up in a special districts training. Like, who does that? And they're like, absolutely, you don't. Do that. Mm-hmm. So
makes perfect sense to me.
All right. So moving on to the general manager's report. So the water main replacement grant project was not, the best news that we could have heard. So we had that meeting with them last week.
Wait a minute. What was the news?
That your district's probably not going to get the $5.8 million. I did very detailed presentation on this. Money's being depleted based on the demands. We may receive $3 to $4 million. We have been offered two loans in the amount of $100,000 to $150,000 and a separate one for $150,000. Our project for that was rated by OHA along with the Infrastructure Finance Authority Board for the state. And as I had briefed the board previously on this, ours was low ranking because it's considered a pipeline project. We also are not a disadvantaged community. Our district ranked at 220% for the medium statewide household income. Communities that are benefiting from the bill, the bipartisan infrastructure legislation, are those communities have started projects that are disadvantaged. The way to maybe start is to break the project down if we want to look at that. The new federal mandate is Build America, Buy America, and it was enacted for any of the funding that we receive. And I put my own personal opinion about ductile iron shouldn't be a problem right now in our U.S. market, but fittings are a problem, and I probably shouldn't have put could. They are a problem right now due to material delays. We can break it down again into a logical sequence if we want to start part of the project first. And what I said, if forced to break down, my recommendation to the board would be do improvements west of Reservoir 3 to Pilkington Road, since that's a critical backbone area of our distribution system.
Road line, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it should be our top priority.
Yeah, totally agree with that.
I tried to explore other funds for USDA funds. They're not available due to our medium statewide household income. And then the special work funds, they could fund up to $10 million, but you're going to pay current interest rates. And that's not, I felt, a good position for the board.
Raise rates just to pay the interest.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so the board had me put in for the budget an increase in consultant fees and legal fees for someone to come in, an outside source, to brief on the feasibility of doing bonds. And I know that special districts will come and do that at a reduced rate. So I didn't pursue any more with the special works bond. So I want to process this a little bit more, go back to the drawing board on how I think that it should be broken down, that I'm very much strongly recommend the west of the Reservoir 3. And I told Matt Matea I would get back with him in about 4 weeks. This was all new information that I want to discuss with Kyle as well. And Kyle was in on the meeting. I was very disappointed because we'd been waiting so long, and when they set up the meeting with us, I thought it was going to tell us how much we had received from the from that grant program, and that wasn't the case.
For River Tree, how much is it going to be?
For Reservoir 3, we're not doing anything with Reservoir 3.
No, she says west of Reservoir
3. West of Reservoir 3.
Yeah, it's the Charles Road transmission main. What amounts to a transmission line?
Mm-hmm. Then that is basically what it is. So, yeah.
I mean, I would ask that you make this a item, this exactly what you've been talking about, that we get briefed at every meeting on what the status of that is.
Okay.
So would require you to make a periodic phone call.
I will, but don't expect it to change each month. I mean, we got this approved last year, and again, that's why I put pressure on Matt. Like, I've got to come back with something. You know, it's like, you know, I'm the... I had to tell the board something. So it's also the projects that are rated ahead of us that are getting the attention and disadvantage. We're not there. As I stressed to you all many times, we are the lowest one on the totem pole. Piping is not an issue. We have fresh water. We have safe water. We have lines to get it to our customers. We're competing against districts that don't have that and are disadvantaged. So I will check monthly and include this on my monthly report, but I would not expect any news every month. But I will put it on the report.
So it's looking increasingly likely that we're going to need to have a combination of funding sources to get rid of our AC main line pipe.
Yeah, absolutely.
I kind of figured that was going to be the case. A $3 to $4 million grant would be gravy. That'd be a nice down payment.
I told the board that based on everything that needs to be done in the district, back of the napkin calculations are $3 million. That's what I'm judging by right now.
Really?
Right now, it's $750 per linear foot to do anything with any type of a project. That includes prevailing wages. It includes everything. You know, engineering cost. I mean, it does not include engineering costs. So just keep that, that in your mind and a target of that's right now. And I would say that's pretty darn accurate. I'd say I'm probably right on the nose. I think
that's
the problem that the district, count on it. That's what DMARA and Tamara, and I'm going up a little bit better, even I'm higher than DMARA and Tamara because costs have continued to increase. So my 750 per linear foot is probably only 3 months old. And I'd say I'm pretty accurate on my calculation. In the district, I feel, got itself in a situation because many districts find themselves in this situation. We all want to do the lowest rates, and we want to brag that we have the lowest rates in the state and blah, 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 blah. However, your rate increases, going back and looking, our district rate increases weren't in line with what they should have been. And now we're here, you know, we can't expect our ratepayers to keep incurring all these increases in their dues. It's too bad to, I mean, it's too late to go back what we should have done. But moving forward, I would stress to the board, the rates have to cover the true costs of providing the service and reserves and the improvement on the distribution system.
Yep.
And I'm actually doing a article on that for the June newsletter that's going out about increasing costs. If you were at the budget committee and you looked at the reviewed the budget, I think that the district itself is doing a good job. Material services, we didn't increase that by what, less than 1%. So we're doing what we're needing to do by not wasting money. And I think that needs to be sent out to our ratepayers as well. They have a right to know that we're not just spending money. We're not frivolous with it. We're very disciplined in our in the projects that we undertake and the management of our projects.
And the fact we're behind the eight ball here.
Absolutely we are. And but again, that was in the past, and I'm not sure how we got there, and I'm sure why rate increases weren't. You go back and I can look at meeting minutes all I want, but it doesn't truly give me the flavor of what was going on at the time. I know that there was in the minute meetings comments that we were the third lowest in the state.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, that's not something to brag about.
No.
At what cost were we?
The person who said that was very proud of that.
Well, and should not be.
Yeah.
But again, you know, we're here where we are. We move forward, and we, again, I'll pursue other funding. I did reach out to Rural Water, and we didn't fall under any of the criteria for Rural Water since we're not Rural Water. And that was all, and I shouldn't say only because any money helps. It was a $10,000 that they were looking for giving projects to water districts, but we didn't qualify for that. Talking about money, it touches on something near and dear to my heart right now. I think the and Commissioner Gern knows what that is. I think that the district could do a better job in the rates that are being charged. When I'm not sure where we might have gotten off track with this, but when service upgrades are made, we need to insist that the service upgrades be made. We are allowing services that come in on a 3/4-inch meter. And as you all know, that when a meter is, the demand is exceeding what it can accurately record, that's where I believe, if you refer back to your water loss that I brief you on every other month, I've said this countless times, I don't believe there's big gaping holes and AC pipes cracked all over this district. I believe we're losing water. It's because it's unmetered correctly due to demands being placed on it. And if you're a customer within the River Grove Water District, you should pay for the demands that you're placing on the system. It's only fair to pay your share and not expect other ratepayers to sure. pay your burden.
Absolutely.
And so we need to improve on that. We voted at the last meeting, the board voted for the update of the ordinance. I have it about 95% complete. And part of that update with the ordinance is the gentleman that came in. We need to have actual defined construction standards, and we need to have meter sizing. So working with other districts, we shared the goods and the bads of different ones we've got. We now have our own meter sizing worksheet that'll be autofill. All developers are going to be required to fill this out. We also, the district previously only had one page of standard notes. We ran into a lot of problems with this since I've been general manager because it's not in depth. It doesn't state what developers are required to do. So the water operators and I took the liberty, and we've written additional construction standards that will be included in the new ordinance. And these need to be the Bible that developers follow when they come into our district. And so I have these in a draft format. They will be, these actually don't go into the ordinance, but the ordinance says the generic statement that any developments coming in will follow the standard notes and construction standards of the district.
Sure.
So this makes it a legal requirement for them to,
mm-hmm,
for them. This is, and I used this today with Mr. Motto, who came in today and gave him the diagram and gave him the notes. And I also have got in the ordinance now where I have defined what a development is. And back in the days, the development was, I think, the district, because again, there wasn't that anything defined it. I think it was defined as these developments coming in with like 5-10 homes, et cetera, et cetera. That's not a development. A development should be two or more. So these two parcel partitions that are being done, the additional demands. And so I've defined that a development is two or more, and a pre-application conference will happen. They'll pay a $500 fee. They'll sit in here today with us. We'll go over everything. We get their fixture counts. We review their plans. All of that, like Clackamas does and Lake Oswego do. We should be doing the same mm-hmm. thing in any other water district. I've defined that also for developments, that anything that is a new or rebuild or a new rebuild, any type of modifications, they are going to require a pre-application form and a conference with us. I put in there that I highly suggest anybody that's making any existing improvements come in for a conference with us, but that is recommended. I did not mandate that, and I don't feel that we should. I think that would be a parochial type position that the district would not want to do. But the other ones, I think it should be mandatory, and they should pay the fee for it. What I'm finding is developers call on my phone, and I told Commissioner McGurry today when he came in to sign checks, I'm probably busier now than I ever have in the, you know, almost 5 years I've worked at this district. We have a lot of developments going on. Developers want to be led through. They want you to hold your hand. I probably get, and I'm not exaggerating, probably an average of probably 20 calls a week now from developers, and sometimes the same developer who doesn't want to go out. You asked if it's on the website. It absolutely is. It's under resources developer, and all this information is out there with the exception of this, because we just finished this over the weekend. I wanted it in autofill form, and we all know I'm IT challenged, and so getting, I am, and I admit that, and getting it to work, it took, but it's now, and it'll be uploaded tomorrow when Chin gets in. So,
how are we planning for Senate Bill 2001 in terms of density?
We're not.
Potential?
The board discussed that, Commissioner Patterson, at least, yeah, you all can have one of these, at least last year, and that it was severely over exaggerated. And if you remember the Portland.
Didn't you ask our engineers to take a look at it?
Well, no, I did better than that. I went to Portland Metro and gave expected. Population increase, and it was very slight. We can pull the board meeting minutes from that, or I can refer back to my notes, but it was severely over, I'm so sorry, it was severely over exaggerated. So that is dead and gone, and we're pretty well built out. And the board, I thought, had voted on that, and we were moving on.
Yes, we did vote on it.
Okay.
So, do you have any thoughts on, should we make a minimum standard meter size, maybe a 1-inch meter, and just eliminate 3/4 inch?
We have that as a policy for new construction.
Well, yeah, but like this fellow who just came in here today, he wants to.
And he's doing a 1-inch. But
oh,
see, though, so,
inch?
Yeah, but this is, you know, this is where it's gold. And this is what all the other water districts do, and I don't know why we never had this, and we never did. If you want me to be able to sit with you and tell you what you're going to need, I need to know your fixtures.
Sure.
I need to see your plans. And to, you know, and to not want to provide that, and there's email traffic, trust me. I'm very diligent about keeping email traffic. There were no plans for me to review. This wasn't filled out. And so I'm not going to base a decision when I'm flying blind. And it's not professional or fair to expect any water district to answer questions like that. And I won't answer questions like that, because then I'm going to be accused of, well, you said that we could do this. So we need to make sure that we're doing our due diligence, that our developers are doing their due diligence and giving us the documents that we need in order to base a decision. The meter upgrades are also very important for this district, because when the district was founded, and going back as far as I can on rates, we separated our 3/4 to 1 inch. Those are different rates. And that's good on one hand, because you go anywhere from $44.11 for a service all the way up to $98 for a 1-inch service. And so how developers have been sliding by is they said, well, our fixture, oh, we're not doing any additional fixtures, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know if it was ever verified or not. So some of these big homes that we have here are being serviced because they were rebuilds by a 3/4 inch meter. We had a development go in somewhere in the district that we reviewed the plans. Everything was good to go. And I get a call from a vendor who wants to come out and test the hydrant. And I said, why do you want to test the hydrant in that area? And I was told because of the fire suppression system. And I said, what fire suppression system? Because they weren't on the original plans. And well, the owners that are buying this house now want a fire suppression system. Well, that changes everything.
Of course.
That changes everything. So you absolutely are not going to go with a 3/4 inch meter. And they barely, in having them do the meter sizing worksheet, they barely made a 1-inch meter. And actually how the flow is determined, if all fixtures are running at one time, that's the optimum flow. And that's what you're supposed to do meter sizing based on. But in the industry, they say, what are the chances in a fire, something that all the fixtures are going to be going, everybody's taking a shower, everybody's, you know, running the dishwasher, laundry, you know, machine, et cetera. And even the city of Lake Oswego says that. So on this particular one, they were required to upsize to 1 inch, but they barely made that. So that's why this fixture count is critical. And Hart, the fire marshal mm-hmm. from Lake Oswego, he has been a wonderful supporter of our district and of me in getting us in the loop of, and this was a prime example, he got involved in this, of getting us on the loop of reviewing these plans. So Lake Oswego has agreed to put us in, and forgive me if I pronounce it incorrectly, Acela. Okay, they're going to give us access, and we're now going to be able to review plans that are for our district. And I can't say enough about Lake Oswego. They have the spirit of cooperation and understanding our frustrations. They have been absolutely wonderful. I have not progressed or made any progression with Clackamas County. And that's something that, you know, I'll continue to work. And so
putting in a fire sprinkling system in a home, do you have a, do you have any applicants for that? In terms of
yes, I just said that we have a new I just said that we have a new home that's being built, and the only reason we would have known about it because I received a phone call at the office that they wanted us out there while they test our fire hydrant, because they can't test our hydrant, they can't engage our hydrant without a water district personnel being there. That's the only reason I knew about it. So, and that was a Clackamas that didn't include us in on the loop, and I'm continuing to work that. We're not the only water district, and I'm not going to speak in a public meeting of other water districts that are frustrated, but there are, and we're trying to work together to approach Clackamas on how we can be included, because it's critical. We have a right to know, I'm so sorry, we have a right to know the demands that are being placed on our system, and as the water purveyor, we have the right to be able to say whether we can or cannot provide that. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, Clackamas just needs to provide us notifications in Acela when people file mechanical or plumbing permits. That's right. All they need to do.
Right. But it's not that easy, Grant, because when like an existing house is there, and the existing house is torn down, or like the house that caught on fire or whatever, it does not generate land use because it's an existing structure. So they said that's what's not triggering any water purveyors to be able to review the plans. And so what I'm told is they had a previous supervisor there who was in charge of building or something, recently retired or something, that did not feel the water purveyors needed to have access to review the plans. In working through, because I have been working through different people at Clackamas County, they understand our pain. I've at least got them now to say, okay, Janine, if you want to be included on the review, then it's all or nothing. You're going to get all the plans. Right. And I said, fine. I said, I'd be willing to do that. Just sign me up. But I'm also working with two other water districts that are doing the same thing that I'm doing, pursuing the same avenue I am. So we have strength in numbers, because we're not the only water purveyor that is being excluded from plan reviews. And how I find out about it is I tell the water operators, when you're out there now, you have one thing. Well, previous, you always look for water in the streets. You look for water anywhere there's water. You look that you know, that's your number one job. Now their number two job is look for any construction, because that's how we're finding out who's coming in and developing in our district. So more to come on this. I'll have the ordinance ready for review at the June meeting. And I did print this off as a sample because I don't want to have the problems that we had with the board policy notebook and why that took so long, because I'm sure the board didn't realize that took almost 11 months to get approved. So what I want to do on the original page is anywhere on the existing ordinance where I make a correction, I'm highlighting the paragraph, lining through what I'm getting rid of, and then typing what I'm putting in.
Good.
And I hope that allows for an expedient review, because we really want to get this approved as soon as possible. And you already know, because it's an ordinance, it's a 60-day process. So the soonest, if you all review it in June, we can get it out and publish it in the paper in July, August, and get it approved in August. And that's what my goal is for the district. So I printed a page, just wanted everybody to take a quick look and see if that would suffice on knowing what was written before and then now what is being added.
Janine, on this on your worksheet, Grant and I just did a quick check, and you got an obsolete reference to the Oregon Plumbing Code. It should be the 2021 version.
Actually, that's not true. There are there is a 21, but the 2017 Oregon Plumbing Specialty Code is still allowed and quite often referred to. I verified that through our RH2 engineers because I actually got that from the plumbing coordinator for Clackamas County, and it's still viable.
That seems odd. 7 years old. That's pretty old for a...
And I actually wrote notes. Huh? Pardon me?
You can go on. I mean, I just went online and Googled Oregon Plumbing Code because I've used the reference sheet before on other projects, and you can find it. Like, you can read the whole book online, yeah.
Right. I understand that. But the 2017 is still used, and what I'm told from the plumbing coordinator for Clackamas County, that's the one that they still refer to. So I can just put, I can take the year out if that makes everybody, and just put Oregon Plumbing Specialty Code.
That's what I would do.
Okay.
How we have to update it. And it says adjusted by the Portland Water Bureau staff. We want to strike that from.
Yeah, please. Where did you see that?
It's just preceding it. Yeah, it says adjusted by number two, the second line.
Okay. And I told you I got Lake Oswego. They were very generous in providing theirs. And I am Oak Lodge, and I can't think. I had two other ones that shared theirs, so I'll correct that. This I tried to get through to this afternoon to at least get to the board, so you see the meter sizing worksheet that we're working on. Mm-hmm. So I'll make the appropriate adjustments on that. Continuing on for the report. The generator pad, there's been no progress other than the generator still due to ship on the 15th. Turney's done all their work to date, so we are just on hold until the generator gets here. I did want to talk about the annual meter replacement program because I think this is significant and this is a win for the district, and it's just outstanding if you compare with other districts. So since fiscal year 2020, we've replaced 43% of our district meters. Again, this is due to the water operators. I take no credit for this. They're out there doing their job. And so what we did on Friday, we had a lunch here at the district, and I used the funds that are going to be distributed in the new budget under recognition. So used and paid for lunch, and we had a lunch here.
In the office?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And they were, you know, really excited. I let them pick and you know, yeah. So if you see the water operators out and about, I think that would be nice as a board member if you said, hey, great job. Because for a district of our size to do that magnitude of work, it's truly outstanding. And the water operators should be recognized.
I have a bone to pick.
Okay.
But that's what I do. I'm a professional.
Of course you do.
Mm-hmm. You highlighted second year, the goal of the district's cross connection protection program shall be, and then you struck out the new line, which is annual inspections of backflow devices installed on customer services.
Mm-hmm.
I think the goal of the cross protection program is to prevent cross connections by annual.
Okay, I can reword that. You'll see how it was worded. And so if you have any, please.
This is just an example of how you're proposing to.
Right, that's
show
all
changes.
It was. If
it's
I
not content, right?
Correct. It was just how, because you all did not like about the board policy handbook, how that was done, and the little boxes out to the side. And we all know I'm IT challenged, and I'm not going to be able to do that for you.
You keep saying, but I'm not buying it. You're pretty good.
I'm getting better. When I started here, I'll share with you, when DJ asked me to open a browser, I looked at her with confusion and said, what's a browser? Now, she would have said, open Google.
It's a breed of dog, isn't it?
Yeah.
She would have said, that's a true story. She would have said, open Google or open Croy, something. I would have known what she was saying. I didn't know it was called a browser. And she still hired me. So go think. Yeah, please feel free to change. That was just a caption of how I'm going to do it. So if everybody's good with that. Alrighty. So moving on to the backflow.
I have a question with meter replacement for you. Mm-hmm. Move on.
Yeah.
The new meters that we're installing, because you mentioned that one of the issues with our water loss is, excessive demand on the existing meters.
Mm-hmm.
Are the new meters that we're installing less susceptible to that?
No.
Is it the fact that they're old, or is it just the size and the flow that's being
issue, I think.
Placed on?
No, it's the meters based on the size of the meter and the mm-hmm. service line have correlation, as you know.
Right.
And so you want them to match up. The problem is that a meter loses its effectiveness. A meter, it doesn't last forever. We are still pulling meters out of this district, and I have no reason to fabricate, that are 35 to 40 years old.
And they have moving parts in them. The moving parts
were another 40 years.
And so meters, if you're going by industry standards, should be replaced on an average of every 18 to 19 years. So how we did the meter replacement is I went through all the meters that we have in our district, and we got rid of all the ones with 7,000 hours. Then we went down and got rid of all the ones with 6,000 units running through them, 5,000 units running through them. And I think I can almost say with 98% accuracy.
I'm not going to hold you to it, Janine.
Thank
so don't sweat
you.
It.
I don't believe there's any 4,000 units anymore. I think we're now at 3,800 units or more. So meter replacement, when you do water conservation and you do your water usage, your production and consumption, is vital.
Yeah.
They are like, you know, like married team. They are vital. They go hand in hand. So I am going to be very anxious, and I would say it's probably going to be at least a 12-month period to see, without any other additional leak repairs, which we do have one over on Tualatin that we are going to do, if our consumption numbers drop in the next year. So right now we're holding steady at 8%, and I would expect to see that drop. And I would be very anxious. And I'll tell you why also I think it's related to meters and misassigned meters. Because if you go back and you look at the history on the unaccounted for water loss, and you look at it, and I only give you all a 12-month history. I actually have one that I started since I, you know, became general manager. So I have almost 3-year history. And it correlates with the high usage months of when people are watering, you know, doing things in their gardens, etc. And again, I'm telling you that it is water meters that are underrated and are not correctly accounting for the water that's flowing through them.
Stop me if I'm getting too off topic here, but like, is there, could we introduce, or is there a program that we could use to look at, like, let's say the top 10 or 20% of people, of like water users, look at what meters they have? Because if people are using a lot of water, right, over a billing period, could indicate that they're, you know, tapping out the meter, right, for the flow rate on it.
Well, it's
interesting. I mean, do we have something that we could look at that? I mean,
no, but it's interesting you say that, because I would like to explore a tier system for our district. I'm surprised, as I'm learning more and networking more, I'm surprised we don't have a tier system for our district.
For rates.
And I was just talking with one of the engineers over at Lake Oswego, because I'm telling you, they've just been magnanimous in their help and their advice and just the questions. They called over for a meter size on Friday, and that's what prompted the conversation. They're like, you don't have it tiered? And I said, no. And I've been leaning toward a tiered system. And that's something, after the ordinance gets passed, I think the district needs to seriously look at, because it's what Grant's saying. You want to, I think the people that are the water hogs and aren't into the conservation, why are they being allowed to only pay the $3.42 per unit? And like, if you look at any other water district, like Lake Oswego, Lake Grove, West Slope, yeah, they have a tiered system, and I think that that would benefit hugely our district.
Well, like, do you have any idea how many tiers are in LIGO's system?
Most of them have three.
Yeah.
So I would like to look at it. I'd like to explore it for the district. I would like to put it on my fall things to do, because as you all know too, and I'm asking to be respectful of the staff right now, and we be respectful of our work hours and our lunch hours, etc. From April to September, this is the busiest time for us.
Sure.
And so I'm telling you, in the entire time I've worked here, this is the busiest I've been. We have our full-time finance person that's starting, and I'm hoping that will alleviate a lot of work.
Full-time is 40 hours?
Full-time. Mm-hmm. And let me look at that tier in the fall. So if we can get that and I can present it to the board, we can roll that out at maybe January. Because I think there's huge benefits in a tiered system for our district.
Yeah, totally.
And I don't know why, and I had gone back through the minute meeting stuff. I've never seen anything where even a tier system was discussed here, and I'm not sure why. There was probably sound reasons. I just don't know.
I don't know that there were sound reasons.
Oh.
It was largely inertia. People liked not having to pay.
Oh.
So okay. They didn't want to upset that boat.
Okay.
Well, let's upset it a little bit. I mean,
yeah.
If we're going to keep running, yeah.
Yeah, and
I mean,
so
the alternative is to go with LO.
Right.
And that's going to be a huge shock.
So I think moving forward, our principle of operation should be people should pay for the demand they place on our system, and people should pay for the water that they use.
Totally. Yeah.
And I think that would be a good principle for our district to move to. So right now, I'm trying to do the demand that's placed. So if you're coming in with gazillion fixtures and you need to upsize your meter, then you need to upsize your meter.
And the fire board is trying to promote fire sprinkling systems too. So keep that in mind in terms of would you be changing the rate at all if people put in a fire sprinkling system?
Well, they're going to have their own backflow for it for certain, and that's something we can look on the tier section. And I will say, Harrit's been wonderful. He's already reviewed our fire hydrant replacement and has given me the two new hydrants where he would recommend that we do that work this year because it's on our budget. So he's given me two locations within our district where he feels we'd benefit the most from having two new hydrants.
But not my street.
No, he gave a third location, but you're not, that street's not priority. So, and then I think that that's good that I get it from Harrit, because then it takes out any perception of favoritism or anything like that. He has no, benefit, and he's wonderful. Can't,
Janine,
again.
I'll just throw this out there because you're having this discussion, is I've done a lot of work over the years in the Portland Water Bureau system. And for any commercial building that is having a your sprinkler system installed, they have to have a separate meter.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep.
And
absolutely. But we don't have any. We only have the, well, it, again, and you want to define.
Single family residential, depends on the size of the house. If that sink system kicks on, that's a big demand.
It is. And the one that's going on over where I don't want to, be where in our district, it came in right at the threshold of where it needed to be. If they had added one more fixture, they would have been over to an inch and a half. But they came right there. So
it's more of like an excess capacity. Like the customer's not going to use that all the time. They're going to use it when their house is on fire.
Yeah.
That's the only saving grace of it, I guess, with residential, right? It's not like you add fixtures and it's constant demand that's going to be placed in the system. So.
Yeah, and that's how you get the op flow. Backflow testing, we're at 30% of testing. Not happy about that. I'm also have an article that's going to go in the newsletter for the June billing to encourage residents to get their backflow tested in the January, February, March. You're going to get better rates from the certified testers. At least that's what they say. But you'll get your testing done, and you don't have to wait till August, September. I also try to use every newsletter as an educational opportunity. And actually, the CrossFloats testers want residential customers to get theirs done between January and June because they reserve July and December for their commercial clientele. So I tell people when they're calling all the time, well, Janine, mine's scheduled in September. Why? You have until the 30th. What if it fails? I said, get it tested in January. So I think, again, try to use every phone call as an educational opportunity. So that's going to be an article in the newsletter coming up as well.
Sure.
Copy your lease, renegotiate our lease, save a little bit of money for us. Delinquent shutoffs, we're going to be shutting off on the 31st of May. We got some more miscellaneous income in from Far West Recycling. As I said, we have a finance specialist now full time here. And our previous finance specialist was offered that and didn't want to, later stages. So very, very excited to have her. Employee training that we completed this past 30 days. And are there any questions on the finances? You'll notice that, or maybe not, because some of the other board members' checks just got signed. We went ahead and did the dive and got ordered our new locating machine. So I did give the water operators leeway and had them narrow it down to three choices that they wanted. I took their second choice because
what, 7,000.
Mm-hmm, yeah, you don't want to know their first choice. So I you know, it's a win-win for them. They got their second choice. Jason did a wonderful job researching it and presenting the option. Yeah, Bill has been trained, and Jason is scheduled for training. I told you today, May or June. It's up on the board, the training board.
Great.
I can only get him trained for when they have classes. I mean,
sure.
So, and I wasn't going to pay for him to go to Seaside. I'm sorry. If anybody's going to Seaside, it would be me. Okay, so did you have any questions on the finances?
I wanted to get the names of the new employees.
There's one new employee. Her name's Chen.
Good job on the copier service reduction.
I am proud of that. And they also lowered increased our threshold for the number of copies. And so that's another thing about the board packages. The board agreed that we're sending the board packages out electronically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because that saves us a lot of money. And I did get my overage, or the district got our overage, and we paid $25. But that was because we do all of our printing internally, and we just did our new batch of door tags. But for $25, you can't beat that.
No.
There wasn't anything else on the finances. So for the equipment, we will go over that particular account classification due to the purchase of the new locating wand. Other than that, our budget looks very, very good. One other thing that I told Chair Roth when she came in here earlier today, we had an episode last week. I'm not going to get into details because of a public session. So we are ordering what's called an office door. So the office door at the bottom, the door will be split. So the bottom half of the door will be locked and inaccessible for customers to come in. The top portion will be open, kind of like a barn
Dutch door.
Mm-hmm, a Dutch door. Mm-hmm. They now call them office doors. And a little counter is built into it. Oh. So customers can come and stand at the little counter and not come in to the district.
Cool.
And then I also we had another COVID outbreak among staff, and so it is critical that customers do not come in. They don't participate in the mask, don't see it, or don't want to use it. But there was something where an employee was threatened, and so that will be installed within the next 30 days.
Great. Any idea what that's going to cost? But it's over $1,000.
But I was hoping that the one employee that we have is just a magician at all types of construction. If I can order the door, and I've already got verbal approval from the Greg Wires to do it, if he can measure it and we get it placed on order, I'll paint it because I still have all the white trim paint. And I did tell her we would make it, you know, and well, I'll put it in writing, but they gave us verbal approval based on the incident. And I think that we can get it done about $600. It's going to be the cost of the door.
Is it wood or metal?
Wood. Wood.
Okay. That's an interior door, so.
Yeah, and then I told her that when the district, if our lease is not removed or anything, that door will carefully store it down in our district shop, and we will we'll return it to.
I wish this was a fire-rated door.
It's
a hall
yeah.
of four doors.
It is?
Yeah, I could push my fist through it.
Yeah. So again, I appreciate the board's support in that
that
employee or that district customers are again using the Dropbox and by appointment.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was here for it and it was frightening. And so we're just not going to do that. We owe it to our employees to make them feel that they have a safe work environment.
Since COVID, there have been a substantial increase in harassment of employees. It's like people have forgotten how
right.
to deal with anybody else.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, I would hate to work in the restaurant business right now.
It's brutal.
And yeah, it is. It's, yeah. All righty, and then that's it and on the finances, unless you had any questions on the finance for me.
Anybody have questions?
Nope.
Okay, thank you.
I was curious in terms of your first aid equipment. Do you have Narcan No. In your.
No.
No.
No. Why would I? That's something that the board wants to discuss. No, we have OSHA rated first aid kits in all our facilities and our vehicles.
We're not first responders.
Exactly. I would not feel comfortable with that unless I was trained, and I would check with the lawyer, and I would check with insurance on the the liability.
Yeah,
I think there's more liability not having it in your first aid kit.
Chair Roth, if that's something you want to take a vote on and you want me to pursue, I'll be happy to do that.
Discussion from you guys. I'm inclined to say that that's an individual matter and not something that the district wants to get into.
Yeah, I'm not enthusiastic about that.
No. I think the issue of liability is enormous.
I would like to check with the SDAO and see what their recommendation is.
I mean, we don't have customers coming into the office who we would potentially need it, and it's the kind of thing where something that happens, you're going to be calling 911.
Yeah.
And the fire department's going to be coming over from just right down Jean, mm-hmm, right here.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was a super rural office or we had different, right, community challenges, I could see the sense in doing that. We've got a firehouse literally down the road.
Probably, yeah, 5 minutes away.
Less, I would argue, with sirens. So.
And I would, yeah, not feel comfortable doing that.
And
I'm
plus
sorry.
Plus, it's a prescription drug that that ages out and has to be replaced periodically.
Yeah. Oh. And you can mess up with that, and then that makes using any sort of narcotic pain relief, if someone needs it, very, very difficult.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think we need to go there with it.
No, I would feel uncomfortable.
I don't think we're in a position to do that. So.
I will say, I don't know if you all noticed when you came to the meeting, the nice little trailer that's out there.
Yeah.
So on Saturday when I was working, I heard a commotion, and I saw the old green truck pull up with the trailer, but I just thought it was like people, they back up and they come over this, mm-hmm, side. So they're on the driver's side to drop their payments in. And I kept everything closed and stuff like that, and didn't think much of it. And so when I went out later, the trailer was unhitched and out there. And so I did take pictures and stuff and forwarded it to the landlord so that can be, towed away. And then Sunday, I will tell you this, and it was frightening. It was about 6 o'clock and I was out here and I had all the blinds closed. And all of a sudden I heard a commotion at the glass doors, and it was pounding. And I'm thinking, who in the heck is out there pounding? So I peeked through the blinds, mm-hmm, and tried to see and got a description of the individual, but, closed, the blinds, waited, thinking, oh my goodness, what's going on? The person left. But I made a mistake. Then I went to this blind to look to see if I could, mm-hmm, identify a car or something. And he had walked around and then saw me, came back to the door and started pounding like that. So I, had the panic button there at my desk. But what I ended up doing is I just called one of the water operators. And thank you, Commissioner Howell, he helped too. The alarm went off at the district shop one night, and we never have the motion detector go off there. So I'm like, what the heck is going on? Because people are being very weird right now. Mm-hmm. A lot of things going on with the district. So I couldn't get a hold. Not that you were my last choice, but I couldn't get a hold of anybody. So I called him, said, can you stay on the phone while I open the district shop door? Because the motion detector's off, security called, and I don't know what's going on. So thank you for doing that. And so after I think it's chipmunk, a squirrel, I don't know, but I was back here working and security called again and said, nope, there's something going on. There's a motion again. I felt brave enough to go down there by myself. So I told the guys, I believe it's they let a chipmunk or a ground squirrel in or something, because they were down there that day doing landscape maintenance. But you just don't ever know. And finally, yeah, he stopped and left. So I don't know what that was about. And
why didn't you call 911?
He was on foot. And I mean, I'm locked. Everything's locked. Everything's secure. I mean, what am I going to say? Someone's pounding. I didn't.
I mean, the police, I've seen the police hang out a lot around here.
Mm-hmm, they do.
Yeah.
I mean, I would just call them and just say, hey, I mean, get him trespassed from the, yeah, property at least.
I get,
you
know?
I would encourage you to do
911, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean,
all right,
I'll tell you, I have a neighbor who will remain anonymous,
mm-hmm,
who has a bipolar son who refuses to take his medication,
mm-hmm,
and he acts out, and he certainly could have He doesn't live too far away from the old gate workshop.
Mm-hmm.
He could have done that, and he's been known to irrationally, he's out of his mind sometimes, go down the street and pound on things in the middle of the night. He did it just a week or so ago, and we had 3 Lake Oswego police officers on my little street at about midnight.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably all of them that were on patrol. And we got
More than likely.
We got the whole show.
Yeah, they're bored at that time of night, and if you call, they're all coming.
The entertainment, I guess.
Yeah.
And this is a kid who's got serious emotional issues. And,
oh, dear.
I guess I will next time. I didn't feel threatened. The vestibule was locked. Our door was locked. The back door was locked, and the deadbolt was there. And it happened a couple minutes, and then he left. And I didn't see. I didn't dare to look out again. But it quieted down, and then I waited like 5 minutes and just peeked up, and there was nobody out there.
I will.
And I don't want you to think like it's a liability issue. Since I am exempt employee, I don't have to be out here from 7:30 to 4:30 or 4. I can be out here at any time, and I'm covered. So it's not a liability for the district. And I do have to work odd hours at times. That's just part of the job.
Yeah, you shouldn't be placed in danger.
Well, I will feel very safe, and I think the employees will, when that door is installed.
Good.
Do we have enough lighting at all out there? Both
Actually odd that you said that, because there's lighting here. We had a seismic event on Saturday that was triggered, and I don't know why.
Really?
So I got a call. Mm-hmm. So I got a call that the SCADA, that the well levels were off. So the operator called me. I responded out here and walked around the reservoir, didn't see anything, didn't feel anything, didn't hear anything, checked in with one of the neighbors that always keeps me alerted without wanting to panic them. And by the time the water operator responded, we got into the seismic equipment, and the panel was tripped and showing that there was a seismic event. So I got on geological website, and there was a tremor, an earthquake of 1.5 magnitude in Veronia, but that wouldn't have triggered here for us, because our level is set higher than that to trigger the valves to close and for the seismic to engage. And so I put a call in today to our vendor to come back out. We have it inspected every August to let him know. And when I opened the panel, there was a lot of water in there too, which should not have been, because that's supposed to be watertight. So I took pictures of that to document, took pictures of the panel light, took pictures of everything. We reset it. And it was actually good training for Bill, because he had never had something with the seismic going off. And I'll get and find out the bottom of that. I hope it's a faulty sensor. That's what I'm, but there were alarms going off on SCADA.
If there's water in there, those trembler switches, which is what the sensor is, are prone to corrosion.
Mm-hmm.
And so if there's water in there, you could have just gotten the contact.
I know. And there was a lot of water. So I took a picture of it with my phone. From different angles.
Isn't that an NEMA cabinet?
Because you're right. Because when they trained us on that, and I loved that training. I mean, that's one of the best things about this job. I've been exposed to so many things I would have never, ever gotten exposed to at any other job. So he did the shaking. They engage it like there's actually an earthquake. So I actually got to see firsthand how it breaks down, the lights that hit up, and then how the valve goes and closes, at 80%. But check the valve and everything like that. I did say to Bill that something weird happened on the 5th of May. I was here Friday early evening, and a customer called from not in our district, up at the top of Reservoir 3 over off Hillshire. And I'm so sorry. I just wrote it off to maybe a joke, started crying and said that our reservoir keeps her up at night because she feels trembling and she hears clanking and she hears noises. And so I've not gotten any other complaints. So I reached out to a couple of our district customers that kind of keep us apprised of anything's going wrong. They didn't notice anything. But when that seismic alarm went off, that I did think about that. So on Saturday, I went up to that place where she lives, and I knocked on doors on either side of her and across the street, and I had my jacket on and just identified myself as River Grove and said, we are just wondering if there's any noises they're hearing from our reservoir or our distribution system, and no one said anything. They said, absolutely not. So now I'm probably not holding that very credible.
Just a crazy person, huh?
Well, no, I mean, maybe she is hearing or feeling vibrations. I don't know.
Did we ever complete the missing gap in our fence up there above Reservoir 3?
No, it was too cost prohibitive. It was going to be $12,000, $15,000, and it wasn't in the budget. So, no, it's not, and it's open, and I would not recommend that because there's other priorities. The core infrastructure is protected by fence. So, no. If there was ever a day that we just had $15,000 and now probably $20,000 lying around, but Commissioner McGurr, that's not going to happen, and I could think of other things to spend it on.
Okay.
It's secure, and that's what I feel comfortable in. Now, our property is not, though. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to mislead. So there are areas that are insecure that they can walk up to our gate, but it's gated within our property. So our infrastructure is secure. And I'm sorry I ran so late.
No, that's fine. That was all things that we need to be caught up on. So Jim missed a good meeting.
Where are we at now?
We are now at
Chair Report.
Okay. No, we've got...
Oh, I'm so sorry. No, new business.
New business. You got the board priorities document.
Mm-hmm.
And that you can fill out at your leisure, and we will discuss it next month.
So, Chair Roth, it would help if they could, if all commissioners could have it to me in, say, 3 weeks.
Okay.
Oh, you'll pull them together?
Yeah. And then I'll, yeah, like I do, and I type them. And
so you want them by the middle of May?
Yeah. Do you have a date, middle of May?
I'm sorry, middle of June. Sorry.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think. I'm trying to do better in getting the board packages out a day earlier. Could we have a date? I don't have my calendar here.
How
I'm
about
so sorry.
The 15th?
Yep.
I don't know what day of the week that is.
Thursday, June 15th.
Yeah, that'd be fine. Yeah, perfect.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Okay. The chair has nothing to report.
What?
Yes. We do have an executive session on board relations.
Okay.
And that is the material that came from...
Oh, I'm sorry, we're still connected on the phone here.
So
as well.
So are now, are so you going, we're
we
going
are,
to go into
yes,
executive
we are going
session?
Into executive session under ORS 192-660-2-F.